Drive with Mark Allen D-Mac. Denver Sports Station is Stick, Big Al, D-Mac, and you.
This, hey, by the way, this is what Al. Is what Al is the king of. Al is the king of thinking of big ideas that take tons of effort. And then immediately forgetting about it as soon as the show's over.
Come on, man. I forgot we were going to go skiing. And you just hold me to
no,
that.
No. We were going to do the Michael Jackson Thriller dance at halftime at the Pepsi Center. You were going to lead rehearsals. You've talked about different projects over the years.
My marathon.
You were going to run a marathon.
That's true.
The reason we are Denver's sports station is...
I mean, good intentions are just good intentions.
Right now.
Live from the Southwest Airlines takeoff zone
of Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's wrong how other airlines charge change fees.
It's crazy to be charged up to a $150 change fee.
So fly Southwest Airlines.
You may pay a difference in airfare, but never a change fee on top of it.
You are now free to move about the country.
Now, here's Mark Allen.
Live from Boston, Massachusetts. Stink on duty from Bristol, so we have lost him for the next couple hours. And most importantly, Alfred Williams. At the Tilted Kilt, where a cold beer never looks so good, hanging out there with our friends from Coors Light. Ty Wigginton will join us, a little bit later this hour, maybe around 5:18, 5:30, somewhere in there when he's available in the clubhouse as the Rockies open a set with the San Francisco Giants. Well, Al, we'll start today, and this will lead right up until we have the actual draft. Can't believe it's this close. And the way we're going to do this is a little bit backwards, I guess, but it'll hopefully provide more drama as it leads up to whoever the Broncos are going to pick and make sense. So we're going to do our mock draft in reverse order. I do have Stink's picks, by the way. And I'm happy to start however you want to start it, my friend. And I know it's tricky going backwards, so we got Green Bay on the clock. How would you like to do this, my friend? How would you like to go over this?
I'll take it. I'll start off and tell you what I see with the Green Bay Packers. Absolutely, you see a team that is a talented team, and their best friend in this free agency is going to be time. Because what happens with the Green Bay Packers is they get all those injured bodies to come off of injured reserve and are able to help them. But they have one problem. Is that I don't know what they're going to do with Darren College, who is their guard. And I don't know if he's coming back in free agency or do they want to commit that kind of money. So I'm saying at the 32nd pick in the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers are going to select a guard. And I'm thinking that's going to be Danny Watkins of Baylor. Because Mike Pouncey, the offensive guard from Florida, will be selected a little earlier than that. So that takes care of not having to pay a high-priced free agency and taking a guard at a need position in a salary cap-friendly rookie pool. This makes a lot of sense for the Green Bay Packers. Why did you laugh?
That's the exact – this is crazy because we have not talked about this. Me, you, and Stink have not got together on this. What we've all done our own evaluations and research. Both Stink and I have Danny Watkins, too.
Wow. Danny,
and it's funny because you've got to figure out what other offensive linemen are going to go before him for the last pick. But he's a really interesting guy. Big guy, 6'4", 310. He's 26 years old, Al. And he's, listen, if he drops down for whatever reason with the Broncos at that 36th pick, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to the Broncos picking him up. He's a big, powerful guy. He's a little bit older. And we all have the same exact pick, and that's Danny Watkins going to the Green Bay Packers. I agree with you with their needs for offensive line, too, and so does Stink. So there you go, a slam dunk on the very first pick. We all have Danny Watkins. All right, so let's move on. The Pittsburgh Steelers, what are their needs, Al? What are they looking at?
Well, you're talking about a team who is really talented, but they still have some issues on the offensive line as well. Now, Tommy Harris, might be available for them in the defensive line. He's a guy that used to be a very active three technique, but now may be forced to move outside. And after being released by Chicago Bears this year, he's going to be available. They're going to be able to take care of some of their problems with their defensive line. Their defensive line was terrible last year. They didn't make any sacks. Aaron Smith is aging, and you don't know what's going to happen with Kiesel. So I'm thinking the Pittsburgh Steelers will select a defensive lineman, probably a defensive tackle, somebody like Phil Taylor out of Baylor. How about that? Baylor round finishes up the bottom portion of the first round for me, and I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to have a big, talented guy in Phil Taylor, and he's going to fit that profile for a Pittsburgh Steeler defensive lineman.
All right, well, Stink has the offensive tackle, Derek Sherrod from Mississippi State. And there is an interesting, you know, I guess it all comes down to where is everybody going to go, okay? And Sherrod's sort of been up and down in this draft. What do you know about Sherrod, Al?
Well, I know he's a big guy, but, you know, big guys don't necessarily mean that they're going to be talented guys. And just looking at the tackles, you know, it's funny how people have – viewed the tackles in this NFL draft. You've seen guys who've been, you know, like Tyron Smith is the number one tackle on most of these guys' draft board. The only problem is the guy plays right tackle. So how in the world can he be your first tackle? And then you got a guy, and you got a guy like Derek Sherrod from Mississippi State is your fifth tackle, and where I could see him being a third tackle. And I don't know how they project these guys. But when you start looking at people who can affect the game in a positive way, you got to look at it all the way, always like this. Quarterback first, right defensive end. Every down player, right defensive end second. Third, you go left tackle. Fourth, you go cornerback. Those are the order that you look at the NFL draft. If those four positions are taken, then of course you go ahead and look elsewhere. But I'm telling you right now, this guy is big and he's talented.
Well, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm going to go with Aaron Williams, who is a cornerback out of Texas. And this is a pick I have little to no confidence in, Al, to be quite honest with you. It sort of went back and forth between a few guys. But I think they might need a little help there. And, you know, I think, at least what I have, because I have Jimmy Smith and Prince and, of course, Patrick Peterson all going forward. So if there is another cornerback out there, I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be interested in Aaron Williams. We move along and we go to the New York Jets. Al, who do you like with the New York Jets?
Now, this is a team who definitely need an outside linebacker pass rusher.
Yeah.
They have to try to find a guy who can put some real pressure on the quarterback, because if they don't bring a blitz, they're not going to get there. And with that being said, they have to find somebody who can do that. Now, I have a swing guy who's not really an outside linebacker, but his draft stock has just really, it's really fallen, and it's just disappointing to me. But I think he'll be there. He's going to be Adrian Claiborne, and I don't know.
Wow, that late, huh?
That late. I don't know.
Oh, man.
You know, because all the other guys have been upgraded. When you got Ryan Kerrigan, you know, it's been talked about in the top 20 selection, and J.J. Watt talked about in the top 20 selection, and Alden Smith. All of those guys, for some reason, have gotten in front of my guy. This is my guy. This is the guy that I think is the best defensive lineman in this year's NFL draft. Because, and I said it, the whole NFL draft. I'm including all the picks that you're thinking about, whether it's Fairley, or whatever you want to call it, whether Darius, you can go ahead and call him, and you know, mark the calendar, because one day you're going to sit back and say, man, that dude can play. Because Adrian Claiborne did not have a great senior year. He's not an outside linebacker, but he can play that defensive tackle position and go head up on an offensive tackle and give them what they need. A Bruce Smith type of player is going to be available late in this draft, and his name is Adrian Claiborne.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm surprised, because
I mean, there's so many names that have jumped in front of him, and not every team needs a defensive end.
Well, we're all kind of sitting thinking on the same line here. Stink has Justin Houston from Georgia, an outside linebacker, going to the Jets, and I'm picking Akeem Ayers from UCLA. So
another guy who should have been at the start of this whole draft process, a top five pick.
But he's fallen too.
He's fallen for, and you know, he is not a pass rusher, though. You know, that's what I'm looking at. And those guys who end up playing for Rex Ryan or end up playing in a Baltimore-style defense, usually can rush the passer along with being physical at the point of attack. Arizona, he's never been asked to do that. He's been a coverage linebacker, but it we'll see. I guess I can understand.
Yeah, but
he
might be a steal, though, that low in the first round.
Yeah, but it's all about what you need to make your team better. And they all need to have an impact player at the line of scrimmage, much like the Denver Broncos.
We move along to the Chicago Bears. Who you like for the Chicago Bears?
Oh, they have to have a wide receiver. When you look at the Chicago Bears and you look at all the different combinations of guys that they tried out there with Jay Cutler, you got to know one thing. They need a wide receiver, and they need them in the worst way. So with that being said, I'm probably going to pick a defensive tackle.
Who you got?
All right, let's go ahead and do it, man. Marvin Austin from North Carolina. That's my selection for the Chicago Bears. You know, Tommy Harris, once again, will be out there. You know, the guy's really lost a step. They're going to release him. This is not a good deal for the Chicago fan base, but they have to start over with their defensive line, and this is how you do it. They may go ahead and try to pick up a wide receiver in the second round, but they got to take care of the line of scrimmage.
With their deep need at wide receiver, Stink has picked Phil Taylor from Baylor, as you mentioned a little bit earlier. And could they use some help at wide receiver? Yeah. But you need to protect Jay Cutler more than anything. And I think it's going to be a surprise because a lot of people had him going higher. But I'm putting Anthony Costanzo of Boston College. I think he's going to fall. I think he's going to be there. And, I mean, the only way I'm wrong on this, obviously, is that he just goes a lot earlier. And he's been projected to go earlier, too. But I got a feeling.
Costanzo, huh?
Well, what's not to like about this guy? 6'7", 2'9". I mean, I guess he could get a little bigger.
Your mock draft, I guess you can go ahead and be wrong on your mock draft. I don't think he's going to. He's one of those need positions. Quarterback, once again, right in. Left tackle, cornerback. This is a knee position, and he is ranked right now the second best tackle out in this draft. I don't believe that, but that's where his ranking is, and he's played in a traditional offense his entire career at Boston College.
Yeah, we'll see, and there's a lot of been ups and downs, but I think Nate Solder's going in the first round.
There's no question.
I think he is. So is Tyron Smith. Costanzo's been up there too. I just think the way I did it is just going to fall back, and I think protecting Jay Cutler will be their moves. Anyways, there you go. Hey, 32, 31, 30, 29.
Who does Stink have?
Stink has, hold on, he's got Phil Taylor of Baylor.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But it's always tricky this late in the draft. You know, it's easy to do, it seems, the top 10, for example. But anything could shake out. And, of course, we're doing this as if the teams don't do any deals. And all of these teams here at this position could be doing deals, by the way. So, especially the Patriots, who we'll have tomorrow, they are notorious for doing deals in the first round. So we'll see. And they've got a couple of picks, too, as a matter of fact.
Boy, wouldn't the Chicago Bears love to get their hand on a big guy like Julio Jones, man. I mean, that'll never happen. I know it'll never happen,
but
that's the guy with Jay Cutler that would probably work out best.
All right, well, that was fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll do it at 5 o'clock every day leading up to the draft, our mock draft in reverse order. And if you want to see it, all you have to do is go to 1043thefan.com. We'll update it for you. And then, of course, you can send us all sort of messages about how idiotic we all are. And I'm sure that's coming. We'll be back with Al at the Tilted Kilt. I'm in Boston, ran the Boston Marathon today, and we'll go to the Rockies Clubhouse. Ty Wigington will join us. What exact role does this guy have on this team? We'll ask him coming up here in the next 10, 15 minutes. This is The Drive on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What? Come on, Al. Is Monday night?
Yep, you got that right.
Are you rolling on a Monday night?
Rolling on a Monday night? Probably not.
Hey, Al, I got to ask you a question, bro. I mean, I'm here in Boston, had a great time running the marathon. I heard you were going to go skiing this weekend. Did you see my wife at Sam's Club?
I did. I saw her there doing the brunch.
The brunch?
Well, the brunch.
They serve brunch at Sam's Club?
Sam's Club have a brunch basically every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's a breakfast, lunch, sample kind of brunch. So I saw her there, and it was outstanding. You know, we were both, I think, trying the strawberries. And they had a little caramel apple dipping station that was really good.
Oh, that's so great. Well, did you make it skiing or not over the weekend?
I did not make it, man. I had a kiddo, spent the night, and that was the whole idea to go to Breck and go night skiing one night. I did, you know, and my kiddo, man, didn't want to go. He wanted to hang out with his friends. So
dang.
I thought I could just maybe, you know, and then with the weekend coming in the holiday, maybe take him up there maybe Friday.
Okay. Well, I think they're open for another week. And, of course, you got a pass that includes a base and that you could go to, and they stay open. And our good friends at Loveland are open until May. So there you go. I had to laugh because the last time we talked, you were going skiing.
Yep.
And then my wife calls me and says, I just saw Al at Sam's Club.
Yep.
I'm like, what happened?
I was, you know, of course, Sunday dinner. If I'm here, I cook Sunday dinner. So made a nice Sunday dinner and watched all the games. And, of course, that was exciting. And, you know, I wanted, you know, it's just something, it's something magical about going up to the mountains, but you know what I've learned is it's kind of like playing golf. You really just don't want to go by yourself. You want to take at least one or two other people.
I agree. I've done it both ways, and I've done it by myself. And yeah, you know, you're right.
Like I don't golf by myself. I don't go out and try to find a guy or two to hook up with to play. I don't do that.
You don't play with strangers.
No, you're right.
Right.
That's why I don't do it. And I don't snowboard with strangers either. You know what I'm saying?
So
that's just who I am. You know, I like people who know the hill and know where they're going, and my son is the guy in our family.
That is so funny.
the baby who's 10 years old, he knows the mountain better than anybody in our family.
Oh, that's – well, hey, man, that is – I never use the word dude more than when I snowboard and ski with my kids. And it's one of those great things we have in Colorado, no doubt about it. Mountains suck here in Boston, by the way.
Oh, no doubt.
When we come back, Ty Wigington will join us. The Rockies are on this just ridiculous run. I mean, I know they lost one game to the Cubs, but – boy, they took that series. They've taken every series, and here come the Giants. Here comes theoretically a test when the world champions come to town. I know you're locked and loaded at the Tilted Kilt. We encourage people to come down and see you. We will be joined by Ty Wigington. Who is Ty Wigington to you, Al?
He's been a guy who stepped up for this ball club that nobody expected. I mean, is that good enough?
Yeah, I'm not sure who he – well, you know what? We'll ask Ty. We'll have him on next.
Who is he to you?
He might be my starting third baseman pretty soon, to be quite honest with you, the way Mr. Stewart and Mr. Lopez are playing. And I would have no problems with that. But not trying to pick sores on a team that's, you know –
It's so early in the baseball season, but – my goodness, that was not one of those names that you could have associated in the starting lineup on a consistent basis in spring training.
Well, I think Lopez and Stewart are combined something like 3 for 40 or something. So you got to do better than that. All right, listen, we'll come back after an update. Ty Wigington joins us from the Rockies Clubhouse, live from Boston and from the Tilted Kilt, where a cold beer never looks so good, with our friends at Coors Light. This is Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It runs around in the corner, and Richie Dower is going to set Jose Lopez. He will score. Base is Cleary. Double Ty Wigginton. 6-3 Colorado.
This is The Drive on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Ty Wigginton was discussed many times last year. There was a lot of speculation that he would come or would want to be coming to the Rockies. And Al, similar to, almost everything that happened in the offseason, what people were speculating did happen.
Yeah, and I tell you what, he's been a nice shot in the arm for this offensive ball club. And I tell you, I don't know how it's going to end by the end of the year, but I believe good competition is needed everywhere. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
If you plan on having a great baseball club, and I'm so happy to have him around here right now to challenge everywhere all the time.
Be welcome to the show, Ty Wigginton. Ty, thanks so much for joining us. How are you tonight?
Great. Thanks for having me.
First of all, before we talk about baseball, one of the most crazy things about your personal life is you delivered your son at home and you tied off the umbilical cord with one of your shoelaces? Is that
true story?
Can you briefly tell us about that?
We were just, Mama wakes me up and pretty much said, I'm going to jump in the shower and I think we ought to go to the hospital. And I'm getting my older son ready. He was two at the time. And getting him ready to go. Mama jumps in the shower. We get ready to go. She gets out the shower and pretty much just yells, help. And run around the corner, have time to tell her to lay down, call 911, give them my address, catch a baby, and wait for the EMTs to get there. That's the abbreviated version, I guess.
Where does the shoelace...
I like the way you used your medical lingo right there, bro.
Yeah. Where does the shoelace come into play?
Well, that's just with the 911 operator. He told me to make sure and tie the umbilical cord off. That way, I guess, something about the blood flow. I don't really know about that stuff. But it's a good thing she happened to be in the closet because I had a few pair of shoes hanging handy.
Wow. Did it freak you out going through this whole process? I mean, was it crazy?
It was absolutely insane. And I will say this, it's the only time in my life in a matter of 10 minutes I felt every single emotion possible. I'm just happy he turned out healthy and we entered a beautiful baby boy.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a remarkable story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Hey, Ty, there was a lot of speculation in Denver about you coming here last year. Did you hear that when you were with Baltimore?
You know, I did hear rumors, and I've even heard rumors about coming here before even last year. I guess as a baseball player, especially me, I've been traded twice, and obviously this is my sixth team. I've heard rumors every year of my career. They really don't mean nothing. They're always rumors, and I think baseball more than any other sport, you hear all these trade rumors, and I guess as a player, you learn to block those out. That really has no bearing. And half the time when you hear a rumor, it ain't going to come true anyway.
Have you ever had the opportunity to do exactly what you wanted to while in Major League Baseball? Because, of course, you play first, second, and third. I mean, where would you love to play more than any other place?
You know what? I came up – I really don't care where I play. When I came up with the Mets, I played all second base pretty much throughout the minor leagues. Then Edgardo Alfonso leaves and signs with the San Francisco Giants, and I get a chance to compete for the everyday job at third and won that job. It really doesn't matter to me. I just like being in the lineup, getting a chance to hit and swing the bat.
Well, Ty, are you an everyday position player at some position in your mind?
Yeah, I feel pretty much throughout my entire career I've played every day. There's been times, I think a couple of my better seasons, I look back to 06, I was playing every day there, broke my hand, so I missed a good month, got hit with a pitch. I think back to 08 with Houston, early in the year, I break my thumb, I pull a groin late in the year, those are two of, I hit 20 plus that year, and both those years I felt like I would go, 30 plus homers and stuff like that, but. It's just a matter of finding the stroke and getting the at-bats, and I'm confident they'll be here at some point.
Wiggy, what has it been like to be on this baseball club with such a tremendous start, and and having all the offensive success, but also the timely pitching to get these wins in some tight spots. And these are wins that we haven't been used to seeing, especially from this ball club, in April. What has it been like to be around here and watch this transformation take place?
You know, this is exactly why I wanted to be a member of the Colorado Rockies, is the way they're playing baseball now. And, you know, no matter what it takes on a daily basis, this team's trying to do everything it possibly can to win a game on that given day. And that's what I believe good teams have. And this team so far has been able to do that. And I think you said it best. You know, there's a lot of guys getting a lot of offensive credit around here right now, and they definitely should be. But I think guys who are flying under the radar definitely are pitching. You know, even a couple of the games we've had to come back and get ahead, well, it's been the pitchers that keep us in that game. And, you know, you're only going to go as far as those arms on that mound are going to take you. And so far they've been carrying us.
Ty, you look to me like a player who likes to get dirty. I don't know, you're bald, you're tough, you got stubble. You just look like you're kind of in a rude dude in a bad mood most of the time. Is that a fair assessment? And is that what you need to be effective on the field?
Yeah, I think, I just try to play the game with the respect I think it deserves. And, you know, you're going to get everything my body has that day. And, you know, bumps, bruises, broken bones, I played with them all. So, I just want to get out there and play and do everything I can to help my team win.
And I want to ask you this. You know, Tulo's having an unbelievable start to this baseball season. As a hitter, when a guy's in a zone like that, is it almost like being around pitchers? You try not to say much to him when right before his at bat, or do you just you encourage him? Or what do you do?
I think you just go about it on daily basis. You know, I think consistency. You know, it is only April. We got 5 more months of this daily grind, and hopefully a couple months after that. But it's a long year, and everybody understands that you're going to go through your ups and downs throughout the course of the season. He's going to have his week where he's not seeing the ball very well, and it's the guys around him that got to pick him up, you know, when he has that week. And, and right now he's, especially in New York, it was almost as if he said, all right, guys, get on my back. I'm seeing it good. And he pretty much carried us there in New York.
Ty Wigginton is our guest. With Tulo having success with Justin Bieber, I heard a rumor that the Jonas Brothers are going to be your new walk-up song.
No chance.
What is your walk-up song?
I go with the little ZZ Top.
Nice. What song?
Grunge.
Nice. Well, Mike and Scott would love that. That's their theme song for their show that they're on before us. Well, Ty, listen, we wish you the best. You're not in the starting lineup tonight, but we hope you get some action. And good luck against the San Francisco Giants.
All right, I appreciate it.
There you go. Ty Wigginton. I like Ty a lot, Al, by the way. Are you a fan of his already?
Yeah, I'm starting to become a fan. Of course, you know, I'm so used to seeing our guys out there that we've seen around here for a while, especially Stewie. But I guess if you don't get it done, man, you got to just move on, I guess, and give yourself a chance. And, you know, Lopez has been hitting the ball hard. At least he started off hitting the ball hard, but he's struggled a little bit here.
Oh, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Difficult. You know, I'm one of those guys, you know, I like my guys, man. And once you start liking them, you want them to do well, you know.
Of course. Hey, by the way, big rumors that Ian Stewart's about to be sent down to AAA, by the way, when they make a call. Could happen as soon as tonight or tomorrow when they have to move things around to make Ubaldo part of the active lineup. He's hitting .050.
Yeah.
That's and Lopez isn't much better. And, you know, I look at Ty Wigginton, and I'm like, well.
Yeah, that's the best option.
All right, when we come back, let's get back into the Nuggets a little bit, Al. Game one did not go their way. The NBA apologizes. What do you think about when the NBA says you were right to complain about what you were complaining about? Does that make anything better? Your calls, your texts, and also the top six coming up as well. This is The Drive on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Live from Crush the Bean Town. Had a good time running the Boston Marathon today.
Finished. How's your body feel now, man?
I'm more satisfied. I was disappointed that I had to walk at certain points and I didn't run. Yes, thank you.
Kidding.
Thank you, Al. But as I stare at this beautiful Boston Marathon medal in my possession, because everybody gets a medal. Everybody gets a ribbon in the Boston Marathon now. So.
I think everybody deserves it that finishes it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. In fact, I'll tweet a picture of that right now. I'm happy. I'm happy I got it done. It's been on my mind for about a year. And Colfax Marathon is next, and that's May 15th. Got to rehab a little bit and get in better shape, but I'll do what I can do the best I can. So it was good. Hey, I got to ask you, Al, when you were watching that game last night, were you throwing things at the TV? Were you screaming? How did that go down at your house when you were watching that last night?
You know what really bothers me is that when a team consistently can do something and you can't stop it, you know, and that is, you know, it was a great free-flowing game, but there was definitely times in the game where you kept seeing the same mistake being made over and over again. Yeah, yeah. When the Denver Nuggets got off to a possessions and seven straight baskets.
Yeah. 13-point lead.
Yeah, and everything was going well. You saw a timeout, and that streak ended.
Yeah.
You know, I wish there would have been wish there was a timeout that could have got everybody attention about stepping in front of a guy and taking. And then they tried to step in front and take a charge. He was called for a defensive foul on that. But you got to have more guys than that, more than just Nene willing to step in front of a guy and take a charge. So. To put them on notice that if you drive, you'll have to play smart basketball and pull up and be contested rather than taking it all the way to the hole. That is just incredible, man. I can't believe those kind of things can happen in the NBA in a playoff environment.
Hey, man, I got freaked out when he went out with that injury. I mean, he couldn't even put pressure on it walking
right off
the court.
Yeah, knee to knee.
And I'm like, oh, my. I was like, wow, it's going to be over quick if he can't play, but. But he did. He came back in and was strong. You know, I still think the Nuggets, Al, have. I know you say Felton, but I think they've got a little identity crisis when the game is, you know, tied or close to that, like near the end. I think if it was up to George, it'd be Aaron Aflalo. But from what we understand,
Why, man?
Because that's who I think George respects and likes the most.
I think he likes the way he plays, but I'm telling you, man, the guy who he wants on the court is the guy who's been on the court at the end of the game, and that is Felton and Felton to make the decision. I'm not telling you Felton's going to shoot the last shot. I'm saying the ball's going to be in his hand. And that is, you know, that is a huge responsibility when the game is on the line. Last night it was out of character for him to shoot that ball in that three-point arena with so much time left on the clock. Why don't you just go ahead and try to penetrate and get a two and then force them to make free throws at the other end if you don't get the steal? That made more sense to me, but, you know, he wasn't the only guy that forced a three-pointer last night to win the game or at least tie it. Yeah. Carmelo Anthony at the end of that game, man, calling for the ball from the – walked that ball up the court, and then got all the way down there with 5 seconds left to go in the game. It's clear he was going to shoot the rock. Just pulled up deep from that right corner, man.
What
the hell do you think you are, man? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You couldn't wait to put it in this situation so you can be a human highlight, man? I don't know. I didn't get that at all. But Felton's was more of a panic. I got to get this ball off because the Nate, in all honesty, was just standing at the top of the key with not a defender around. And I was like, hey, take it to the hole. Take it to the hole. But he was standing there, and he turns around and gives the ball to Felton without really setting a real solid screen. It was just a handoff. And he tried to get a rub at the end, and it just didn't work out. It just was not – it was not good spacing on that play. I don't know what the play was called, but it was sloppy, whatever it was.
Hey, man, you know Melo got boned on that offensive foul, though, right?
Oh, that was – hey, let me tell you something. That offensive foul against Melo
was
a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
That was not a good offensive foul call against Carmelo Anthony. And then late in that game, man, Kevin Garnett wedges out for a pick. And not only did he throw a knee, he throws an elbow and frees up Ray Allen for a three-pointer, and he makes it. But it should have been an offensive foul. You got to call that an offensive foul. You trip the guy and throw an elbow at him and a hip.
I tell you what, if Chris,
what is that, man? If that was the Birdman.
I was just going to say.
If that was the Birdman,
you know
that would have been an offensive foul.
That's why you
need the stars in the playoffs.
You might be right on that, Al, and we're seeing that more and more. By the way, who should be more concerned with a first game loss? The Lakers, the Spurs, or the Nuggets?
I would say the Nuggets. Because this is not Oklahoma.
Lakers and Spurs lost at home.
Hey, man, got your attention. Fine. You got their attention. Now the series begins with them. Last night, there was no sneaking up. This was a 4-5. I mean, Chris Paul was outstanding. One time Chris Paul crossed over Gasol, and I mean, he crossed him so bad. I mean, Chris Paul is just... He's outstanding, and you know it's been feeling like that. He has just been waiting, just in biding his time, just to get out of New Orleans, and then he comes out with a game like that, and you say, man, this guy, he truly is special and could totally control the game from the point guard position. That's the kind of thing that we need out of Felton. Not to say that we want the ball in his hand at the end of the game for the last shot, but the last time the decision's going to make who makes that last shot. But he's capable of making the last shot. And, you know, once again, JR, man, you got to be selfless in these situations, man. When it's playoff basketball and the team is playing well, please don't pout, man. Please don't walk off the court. Please sit on the sideline and support your teammates. And I know it's tough when you don't have, a bunch of minutes in the game. But, man, everything is going well at that time. Right. You know, he's not really in the game, not really having an impact, man. That just stood out like a sore thumb to me. I mean, it just completely stood out in my mind as something that just did not need to happen. And I don't know, man. I don't know if he's coming back next year, man. I mean.
Well, you know what's the strange part though, Al.
I don't know.
I think if the Nuggets want to win, they got to get production out of JR though.
No, they didn't need production out of him last night. They just needed some defensive help. Everything else was working fine.
They needed help in the second half, in the fourth quarter. They did.
Oklahoma City wants to run a half court offense. George Karl wants to run a fast break offense all the time. I mean, that is what he's after. He's after an opportunity and a situation where his team gets a chance to run up and down the court. And, you know, that's when you get, although Serge Ibaka on Wilson Chandler, that block from behind, that was outstanding.
But oh, my goodness, that was crazy.
That was a nice, nice block. I mean, and Ibaka is a pest, but he's not an offensive threat at all. That's why I'm like, man, why don't you make Kevin Durant post up, put a little guy on him, and now you got Ibaka on the floor along with Kendrick Perkins, and you got one guy on the block and you got two guys on the perimeter who can't shoot the basketball. Go ahead and guard Westbrook, and good luck to anybody else who wants to have a great day.
Hey, let's sneak in a call before an update in the top six, and that's Stuart. Stuart, you're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, Stuart.
Hey, how you doing, D-Mac?
Good, brother.
So I was calling on, you said, how do you feel about the NBA apologizing? I think it's ridiculous that they missed a call in the first place, because I know touching the net's not goaltending, but if your hand is in the net to go above the rim and touch the ball, how stretchy is that net to not be goaltending?
It was a horrible call. In fact, if you watch the highlight on, at least I saw it on ESPN, you got to see Hastings' reaction, his physical reaction to the call. I mean, I thought he was going to jump out of the auditorium when it happened. It was unbelievable.
I'm going to ask both of you guys a question. I don't know if you guys were paying attention. Who tipped that ball in? You guys remember?
I think it was going to go in, but
who tipped it? Who was the goaltending on?
Well, wasn't Perkins?
It was Perkins.
Okay.
Who was underneath the basket to block out Perkins?
Hey.
No one.
Nobody. Okay.
Nobody else.
Okay. But this is what I'm saying. At the end of the game, the game's on the line. You got Kmart is the only guy in a blue jersey in front of the rim blocking out? Are you kidding me? I know it was a bad call. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a bad call. But, man, with the game on the line, everybody, I mean, come on, man, that is just rec center basketball 101. Go to the hole and try to at least get the rebound. And we got one guy competing for the rebound in that situation. That's bad, bro. That is bad basketball.
When we come back, the top six at six, you could win Fast Five advanced screening passes and a tub of stinking good green chili. Also an update. We're back in 90 seconds. Live from Boston. Did that marathon. Al at the Tilted Kilt, where a cold beer never tasted so good.
Right.
You headed down to the Rockies game. My man, you need to get yourself to the Tilted Kilt. This is Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.